kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And so you're back from out of sea. I just walked in to find you here with that look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just one second,
Hey, Yvonne. How are you?
Hello, hello.
move on?
I think we have technical difficulties.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hey.
How are you?
Hey, so far, so good. I know she wants us to just sort of carry on while she fixes things.
Okay. So do I need to have my, like, video going or like...
No.
Okay, this is not a Zoom. Okay. Great.
No, it's audio, so don't worry about that.
Okay.
I've done several of these with her, so you're good.
Okay.
Okay, guys, I think I'm back.
You are.
Hold on now. Let me mute now. All right, now I've muted. I thought I muted the microphone. I don't know what happened, but for some reason my speaker didn't want to work. So I am walking away from the computer, see if that helps. You know, if technical difficulties, things happen. Okay. All right, now y'all have some, y'all turn y'all's computers down. So that's the feedback that's coming back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are having technical difficulties, but we're working on it. Maybe it's, oh, that's much better. Let's go back to Andrea and start this all over again. Andrea, do what?
We don't hang
up.
We just keep it on.
Just keep going. Yeah, can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Andrea was our mentor. She was our friend. She was the red bombshell, the driving force behind our show, our books, the publishing house. I met her many, many years ago when I was at it was Virginia's conference that we were all at, and she interviewed me the very first time.
In
Tampa, yep. It was a con in Tampa. I'll never forget it. She was amazing. Well, then after couple of years after that con, she contacted me and she said, Yvonne, how would you like to write for a couple of anthologies for me? She says, I'm thinking about starting a publishing house to help authors. I said, okay, why not? And then it's just more from there. Virginia, you were there from the ground up. Talk about what you saw and how it all came about.
Oh, my. I've known Andrea before Tampa.
Yep.
I've been working with her since she started AMR. Before she even started releasing anthologies and starting to publish, her and I partnered with, Anytime Author Promotions and her to figure out deals. Like, I charged next to nothing for the formatting and the covers at the time because it was something important to her, and I knew that the industry overcharges. And so her and I have been friends together, fighting the battles for several years. I mean, it's got to be 6 or 7 years now, 8 years maybe. And Yeah, and I mean, for her, she just one thing after another. She just kept adding things and doing things, and it was all about the author, and it was all about what she could do. And if she couldn't do it, she was all over, you know, the rest of us to see, you know, what could I do? And I mean, I know we were just partnering about being the first anthology to have colored pages and things like that. So that'll still happen, by the way. But you know, she was a hell of a human being, I'll tell you. And I never in a million years saw this coming. Like I said, I talked to her probably 5 minutes before it all went down. And I mean, she has worked hard in this business, in this industry for a long time, and she had the background that she needed for it. And it was just amazing to see the things she's done for a lot of you. And I worked with a lot of her authors even and helped with the publishing side. I mean, she did anything she could for whoever needed it. And I mean, this woman, she was a saint. So
would it be fair to say that she was almost bigger than life?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. I mean, everybody knew her. You couldn't walk in a room without knowing who she was.
You were right, because she was a magnetic personality.
Yep.
Yes, she was.
It was almost like she, the entire room, when she walked into a room.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Just red hair and all. I mean, it was amazing what she did with her life and how she impacted others.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Pete, what are some of your thoughts about our Andrea?
I met Andrea. Her company was the first company when she was doing podcasts with Fred Carroll and Jennifer Field. That was the first podcast that I ever had done with my first book. And I talked to her after it, and she actually gave me a very good compliment. She said, you know, you're gold, and you can go really far in this business. And personally, I wasn't planning on doing anything else. I had written a second book, talked to her about it. She read that, and she said, you got to maybe want to start writing fiction because you have a gift, which I still don't think I do now, but she was the driving force of me to keep writing. And then I had asked her to become my agent. So she was many things for my business and my career. She was my promoter. Most of all, she was my closest friend. She was my agent, my manager. She just did everything when it came to what I do. And like Virginia said, I was on the phone with her the day before, and she was actually getting in the middle of completing a 500-page book that I just wrote. And she told me that she was sending it to me by the email, and I could go over it, and then we'd be ready to, you know, format it once it was approved. So when I read what I read in Virginia's post today in the morning, I'm completely devastated. My world is broken in half. She was my closest friend in life.
When I got up this morning and started reading all the notes and messenger, I felt like a rug had been yanked out from under my feet. Now, all of y'all that know me, and both you and Virginia have known me for many, many, many years, and I am accustomed to losing people that I care about, because y'all know how much loss I've had in the last 11 years. But and before her, I'd already lost three other people I cared about, like within a 3-week period. So this was like, I can't explain it. It was like somebody had gut punched me.
Yes. For me, it's even worse than that, because, like you said, you felt like the rug was pulled out. I literally felt, I still feel like I'm falling from the sky, and I'm just waiting for the impact to happen where everything ends. Because it's just, I'm being honest, I don't know if I'm going to keep writing. she's the driving force. I probably will for the rest of this year, and I don't know if I'm going to keep doing it.
Well, if you need to take a break, and I'm sure that Virginia can weigh in on this, if you need to take a break, my friend, take a break. But Andrea would probably be the first person to say in your ear in the middle of the night when you're sound asleep and you wake up out of a dead sleep and this voice is saying, Pete Thorne, I raise you better than that.
Yeah.
And she will do that because we all know Andrea was very, very, she was very kind, ladies and gentlemen, but this woman was very forceful. Is that a good word, guys? She when she had a mission, there was no stopping her.
Yes, I agree with that. And I mean, I never was on the wrong end of the stick with her, thank God. But we've had conversations where other people were, and not that she was talking about that person. We were just talking about certain things, and you didn't want to be on the wrong side with her because, like you said, she was the sweetest woman in the world. But don't cross her because that's the wrong thing to do. And you do. I couldn't see how people would want to. Because she was so helpful in the industry. She did anything she could for you. And I just couldn't believe when she would tell me other people did, and kind of bothered me, but it wasn't my place to say anything to them.
I probably would have if I'd have known who they were. Because she, I have a friend, and Virginia, you might be familiar with her because you probably formatted her books. My friend Peggy Engler, she's in her 80s, and she's written all of her life. So when I did, I told her, I'm going to do an inspirational book because in this day and age, people need all the inspiration they can get. So as we were putting the book together, I said, Peggy, I want you to write a couple of stories for this book. And she said, but I'm not good enough. I said, yes, you are. I want you to write some stories. I've read your stuff. I want your stories in here. I want you to be a part of it. So she did, and Soulful Inspirations came out of that, and Andrea did that book for us. And then Peggy told me, she said, Yvonne, I can't stop writing. I don't know what to do. I said, you're going to give me your work, and I'm going to send it over to Andrea. Well, she was so grateful and so appreciative of Andrea. And even when people tried to get her to go someplace else, she said, I will never go anyplace else because Andrea took a chance on me. And she never thought she would get her work published. And she simply adored Andrea. Because of Andrea, my 83-year-old friend was able to realize a dream. You can't put a price tag on that.
No, you can't. You really can't. And
yeah, Virginia, check in here, honey.
Oh, no, I was just looking up a thing because there was another author who she came to me with, and she said, look, she is, you know, disabled. Her only goal in life was to ever write a book and be published. And one day I was like, well, absolutely. Just tell me what and when, and I'll make the cover. I'll donate it. You know, we covered it with AAP. And it was just a couple months ago. She messaged me. She's like, it's time. Get this. We got to get this formatted and get this done. And we got it done. And we did it both pro bono. Neither one of us charged this woman for it. And we published it. And she sold a few copies, and she also passed away right after it was published.
Oh,
and
my word.
It was one of those moments where you're just like, this was meant to be, and it never would have happened mm-hmm. if it wasn't for Andrea and her coming to me and saying, we need to do this. Like, there was no option. I mean, she just pretty much told me that I was doing it.
and
I mean, who
way.
Am I to argue?
And she has a way of doing that, right? She had a way of doing
that. Yeah, exactly. So I was just trying to figure, I was just looking for the piece or the name, but she, it was a baseball book and it was amazing. And it was so just, I don't know, to find out that she actually got published and then, you know, she, it was amazing. And that just happened because of Andrea. I don't know. This woman, I tell you, she was everything into a lot of authors. And I will be honest, luckily, her and I had a really, really good relationship, and I can continue her publishing, minorly. Like, I have access to it at least, so we can at least help move forward, with what she's already started and, through AMR. Like, I don't even have to switch publishers. It can stay within AMR. So all the anthologies are still going to take place like they would. We can still order copies. I can still do it. Talk to her family, who knows that the royalties from pretty much every anthology I think we get now are all going to the family. But
yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, Virginia. It was just the best way to honor her and to keep her memory alive was to not quit. And so I dug deep in my messages and emails and found the information. And luckily, she didn't change her password. And I can help. And that's really, I think at the end of the day, what she would have wanted anyway. I don't think she would have wanted us to stop, especially if we had the ability to. And I think that that's kind of the same thing with you, you know, with Peggy, it was don't stop. And Pete,
but
don't stop.
Don't
I will
stop.
Find you. I know where you live.
I appreciate that. And I mean, I would have never met you without Andrew,
okay.
Virginia. And I've been so many.
You.
Yeah.
I know. And I did so many anthologies with you, Yvonne, and it's just, I'm like at a loss of words. I'm walking around.
What you've got to understand, honey, is you do have to have a period of grieving. That's part of the loss. However, it would not bode well if you, A, gave up your dream, because you know, Virginia knows, all of us as authors and writers know that we can't stop. After Jack died, I thought I was done. And then Andrea came along and said, hey, you know, you're not done because you're going to write for okay, fine, Andrea. I'll pull something out of the recesses of my numb mind here and put some stories together for you. So we have to continue for her, because we don't want to let her down. She works so hard for all of us.
I agree, and I just wanted, you know, being that she was my agent, I wanted to be the. All her authors are amazing. They're better than I am. But I just wanted, because I write in a genre that most people don't write in. I write in the Lawrence Western genre with the other ones, but. And my first two books are close to getting a Netflix deal. And, you know, I wanted to be the one that could help her go further in this industry, you know. No, I feel like I let it down, you know what I mean?
Well, you can't do that if you quit, just saying.
Like, no, you can't.
You can't win if you're not playing.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
You can't sit in the bleachers and think you're going to win because you're just a spectator. This is not a spectator sport. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone on this phone call will tell you, especially in the indie industry, it is not a spectator sport. You're either, as they say in Texas, hold them all in, or you're going to fold them and walk away from the table. Am I right, Jeff?
100%.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, you know, she's the reason I have all these orange banners. She's got me 14 orange banners, and now I got to, you know, because of you too, I got to dig down deep and try to get more Orange Vanners in her honor. From now on, everything I do, you know, my books are going to be in her honor.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, kind of like what I posted. You know, I just talked to her yesterday, and
I can't even imagine that.
To be honest, here, you guys can get the reality of my world. I don't write long books, so we're all, y'all had to do like 10, 15, 20,000 words. Yeah, she knew she wasn't getting any more than 5,000 out of me. It just,
I'm getting
anything
like
more than 5,000, I can publish, okay? So I don't do it. And I'm going to be very transparent. There's a reason why that text message, just why those messages happened last night, is because she said, I need the title of your story. Do you even have a story? Okay. Now, there was some LOL in there because she knows damn well I write the story the day I format it.
Right.
I don't have a story. I have a title. I have a tagline, which is Everybody Dies, but she knew that. I didn't have to tell her. Like, that's the kind of person she was. She knew I didn't write this story. Like, she knows it is not written, and that's okay. It didn't bother her. She understood me as a human being, that I will get it done. It's due in like, I mean, hell, I've had all your stories for, I don't know, weeks. It's due the 24th, I think I was telling them.
Yeah,
I'll write it the 23rd, like I do every other book I write.
But that's who she was. Yeah, and that's a gift for you. I do that. With my writing, I don't believe in, maybe it's wrong, but I don't do outlines. I'll make notes,
nope,
maybe
me neither,
when I'm driving, and or I'll talk to my recorder. I get my ideas when I'm walking my dog or when I'm driving. And
yeah,
I just go with it when I start writing. I'm like, okay, I need a woman's name for a woman's character. Let me go look up. I have this thing where I have like 5,000 women's names, men's names,
mm-hmm,
first and last names. I'm like, okay, this name sounds good. Let's do this. And she'll be the one that gets killed, and she'll be the undercover cop, and she'll be the college student. And that's it. That's how I write. And Andrea loved it. She's like, she said it about you. She said, I love how you and Virginia write, because you really never have a story outline. You just go with the flow, and it still comes out good.
Yeah. You never know what, that's the thing. And she knows it. I never know what the end is going to be. I just start writing. And, I mean, this woman, she published Peg, okay? I don't think anybody on the planet would be like, yes, let's put that in a book. I sent it to her when I formatted it. She read it, and she was like, y'all are six human beings. Like, but she understood it.
Yeah.
It was published.
We are.
Yeah.
She understood my dark humor.
Mm-hmm.
And Virginia, you've read my work. You know how humorous it is. Dark, and ladies and gentlemen, my humor is colorful. It is dark. It is dry. It's off the wall.
It has to be.
Even in horror stories, there's humor in my horror stories. There's sarcasm.
Yeah.
That's great.
And she loves
And that's just it. She respected everybody as a different author individually. And I think that that's important. I mean, just not just me or you or Pete. Every single author had something else to bring to her. And she never said no. She figured out a way to do it.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what was one of our gifts is she knew what authors to put together in anthologies.
She did.
Yes.
And, like, sometimes, like, when I was in an anthology, like, my first one, I'm like, you know, these authors are, like, beyond the accomplishment that I am. I don't know if I'm not even in their league. Like, you're in their league. Just write your story. Don't worry about it. And she just, he just knew who to put who with who and in what anthology. And she was, in the beginning of the year, every year, she would say, okay, listen, I'm slotting you for these anthologies because these are good for you. You're in them. And I said, oh, okay. You know, just give me the concept of each one and I'll do it. And she just knew where an author belonged.
She knew I did not write romance or sci-fi. I said, I'm not.
Oh, you and I.
This is why we're always in the same ones, y'all, because romance. Are you kidding me? Everybody's dying. I run out of words.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, everybody or most people are dying in ours. I'm not writing about, well, Jim loved Laura. No, that's not happened. Jim may have cut Laura's head off, but, you know.
Right. If you fell in love, trust me, that guy was a serial killer. Just saying.
And what is so good about Andrea is she knew that this group, that the three of us are in, that we're twisted. We are twisted, and she knew us enough to understand that and appreciate that. Whereas my friend Peggy Engler, she knew that Peggy is very inspirational. What Andrea told me was her mother read every one of Peggy's books. She had every one of Peggy's books because they're written for women. They're inspirational. They're scriptural. And she read every one of Peggy's books, and when I tell Peggy that, I thought I was going to cry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand how Andrea is. She is so multifaceted, multi-talented, and multi-inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. I mean, she can look someone like Peggy in the eye and say, these are phenomenal. This is great. Keep going. And then she can turn around and then tell us, y'all just go ahead, keep killing people. It's all good. Like, there was no right or wrong with her. It was whatever you are good at, continue that, because otherwise it's going to be crap.
And she believed it. It wasn't lip service.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, what I loved about her was she ended up doing editing and formatting a lot of my police books in the end. And we were talking a few weeks ago, and she said, you know, it's like I'm a cop now. You know that, right? And I'm like, yeah, I know. Because she knew all the vernacular, all the vocabulary. And if I had made a mistake with something, she said, you know, let's use this phrase because it sounds better. And I just knew that. She knew what police procedural novels were about, and I never was worried about. I said, "Listen, you have free reign of changing anything you want to make it sound better," and that's what she did. She didn't do it a lot, but she would actually call me and say, "Listen, we got to change this," and say, "You just do it, I trust you." Not a lot of editors can go into that genre and really understand it with the codes and, you know, the sick humor pops out.
Trust me, I was married to one and I hunted people for a living, so I understand that sick humor. That's why I write that sick humor.
Yes.
And they do have a very sick humor. It's been hanging on here. A 651 number. Pete, that's not your number, is it?
No,
I'm
a 917.
Okay, there's
mine's
a 751. Okay, I got a 706 number.
Nope.
That's for me.
Okay. They're just sitting out there. They're not talking. Maybe they don't want to talk to us because they don't like us.
We don't bite.
Well, we might, but I've had my shot for this year. I'm not promising next year, though.
True. All right.
See, there's that humor. In honor of our lovely friend, y'all know at the beginning of the show I played "I Will Survive" by Gloria Gaynor, and Andrea would be the first person singing, "Yes, y'all will survive." But now I want to play a song that is an oldie but a goodie, and I think when y'all hear it, you will appreciate it and understand why I am playing it, because she's still doing it.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand by me. And darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand now. Stand by me. Stand by me.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, and tonight we are paying homage to our publisher, friend, mentor, bigger than life, Andrea Miles Road. We lost her last night quite unexpectedly. I have on the phone with me two of her authors and friends, Pete Thorne and Virginia Johnson, and we've been discussing Andrea and her bigger than life personality. And guys, while I was listening to that song, I was sitting here thinking, you know, I think Andrea's the one that made the whole thing be a technical difficulty when we first started, because that would be typical Andrea to show she's still here.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
Because that's just what she did. So Virginia, talk a little bit about, we know she started the publishing company, and she started it, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, she was just going to do anthologies. This was just to get some of the authors together, write short stories, throw them in an anthology, and just get, and Virginia, this thing took on a life of its own. Every week she was mm-hmm. doing something. Tell the folks what all this woman was doing.
Oh, Lord. Well, she was publishing, of course. She did marketing. She was going to start out as a marketing for authors, the authors. She was doing video trailers and video podcasts. I remember that. She was doing those through, like, Viper or something or other. But
Venom,
this,
Venom Studio.
Venom, yep. I'm like, it's all like that, one of them snake things. But she kind of, you know, she did with her company that I, this pretty much same thing I did with mine, which is we both started with the full intention of helping the indie author. And there were so many scam anthologies out there that were, you know, they're taking their money and running. And there were so many anthologies out there that were like pay and, you know, pay to win type of thing. You know, if you pay me hundreds and hundreds of dollars, then we'll get you on a USA Today bestseller.
Yes.
There's, you know, there's other ones out there that were just, it was a scam. You know, how many, oh my God, I almost said it out loud. I'm going to say it out loud. How many people in the industry have you slept with? Because other, if you haven't been enough, then you're not going into my book.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the same reasons I started my company, which was because it wasn't fair anymore. Like the playground wasn't fair and somebody needed to walk in and go, enough's enough. We don't care how many Google reviews you have. We don't care how many people you slept with. We don't care whose friends you are. If you're in it and you want this, we're going to get it for you. We're going to help you. And that really, at the end of the day, was what she came up with. And if it meant having to go to marketing, she added marketing. Adding anthologies, she added anthologies. When she, whatever it took to really be the backside of what indie authors need, that's what she was willing to do. And I think that, you know, she was doing editing. She was doing, you know, pro bono work. She did pretty much, you know, everything. And then I just took care of the backside stuff for her, you know, the formatting, the covers, the, you know, things like that, whatever was easiest and inexpensive, because her and I were in it for the same reason. You know, she was in it to save money because she knew that the industry was going to overcharge the indie author. Which is exactly what I did. I mean, I pretty much do everything at cost. Most people don't. Mm-hmm. They want their $100 an hour. And so that was something she just didn't, it wasn't a financial thing for her necessarily. You could tell she was genuinely in it for the author, and it wasn't just for her own capital gain.
Sad part is, Virginia, you've been in this business as long as I have. When you and I first started way back, and I'm talking, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen, I put my first book out in 2007. And if you went to some of the vanity publishers, you had to buy $1,000 worth of books just to get them to publish your book. There's no way you're going to sell $1,000 worth of books. Mm-hmm. It was so, and then you would have these fly-by-night publishers that would say, okay, you give me X amount of dollars up front and I'll publish your book. Then they would hit the road. There was a whole group of us that got taken by this one publisher because he started sleeping with one of the authors, and it was a big mess, and they left and went to Michigan, and it was mm-hmm. a cluster. So we were all in that group, and when we said we were independently published, it was a dirty word. Oh,
yep.
So you're self-published. That means you can't write because you can't get with one of the big six. So we've been in this thing for over 20 years, and we mm-hmm. kind of broke that glass ceiling and opened up the doorway for all of these wonderful authors to come in and be read, be heard, be seen, be known. And Andrea understood that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, if you were an indie author, you could just forget it because people weren't going to read you. Well, I've got news for same people. I've been on television 8 times because of one of my books. It was a true crime. What? Virginia's known all over God's Little Green Acre. Pete's known. We are known out there. And Andrea just opened it up even further for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
That's exactly it.
So, yeah.
And, yeah, the publishing world is hard on indie authors. It's a rough business. It is so much easier now. And I know that everyone's out there, you know, these people can just publish anything they want. You know, those people probably aren't publishing. Get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had to drop you off at some point, right, Yvonne?
Yeah, I was wondering.
It was going to come. We already knew that.
I've been holding my tongue.
That was the first side note. The first time Yvonne was like, hey, do you want to be on my podcast? I said, sure. Can I say the F word?
Exactly. It's so funny. I ask every podcast that now. I'm like, well, you know, this is it's family friendly. I'm like, I don't know if
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be able to do it.
Right.
I actually have
I'm
to think
your,
about what
I'm not
your
target audience.
No.
So, but, you know, back in the day, it was so frowned upon. It was like, you know, being an indie author, it was like, well, you're right. You can't cut it. No, it has nothing to do with me not being able to cut it. It has to do with the fact that if I want to kill 8 people in 80 pages, guess what? I'm going to kill 8 people in 80 pages.
Yeah.
And I don't want you telling me I can only kill one and they can only bleed a little. Not what we're in it for. We're in it to make our stories come to life, not what some, you know, publishing agent wants us to bring to life.
Yeah.
And that's what folks don't understand. And I've tried to explain to people that say, well, you don't do this and you don't do that. What they don't understand is as indie authors, we have the freedom to A, write what we want, leave in or take out what we choose without some editor going in and red ink in the entire book and rewriting it, because that's what they want in the book.
Yes. Right.
Yep.
When editors say, well, I need to rewrite this whole paragraph, I just want to take them and pinch their heads off. Because it's no longer my words, it's their words. So if they want to take my work and make it theirs, they need to go write their own book. I fought that for years. If you want to correct grammar, fine. If you want to correct sentences, fine. But it's my body of work.
Right.
I agree. 100% with
that. I mean, you should see what happens when somebody asks me to write a happily ever after.
There is no happily ever after.
I think I almost did it once, and my people were like, "What that? What happened?" I was like, "Oh, I was listening to the Glee soundtrack."
There is no happily ever after.
No. I mean, people die.
I always let the ending, the people know. Listen, there's more gore coming for the next book. So this is not going to happen. Always this may have ended okay, but just beware that bad things are coming.
There's more.
I hear you.
That is what Andrea understood, that, ladies and gentlemen, there is a core group of us that we are twisted. We know we're twisted. We revel in being twisted. I have a 5-foot skeleton sitting in a rocking chair on my front porch. I have a 3-foot ceramic Grim Reaper in my living room. I have wind chimes in my front yard that are skulls. I know I'm twisted. And I found somebody that enjoys my twistedness.
Yes, exactly.
I have a porcelain doll that I'm going to stick a sign on it that says it's your problem now and just drop it off at a random person's house.
Oh, my God. That's great.
I tell the people in the village, some of the people that I really am not fond of, that I will put their body in the back of my truck, which has a tonneau cover, and I will help the rest of the village look for them after I dump them over in the canal behind my house that has a 12-foot gator in it.
Yeah. I'll help them look for your body.
Yeah, see? But Andrea understood it, and the thing about her understanding it is she encouraged it.
Yeah, she loved it. She loved it. She really did.
And so ladies and gentlemen, when the three of us say that we're gut punched and devastated and all of the emotions that we are putting out there that we really can't explain, it's because we found our tribe and our tribal leader in Andrea. Am I right, y'all?
Oh, 100%, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you knew what was up.
She did, and she accepted us for our weirdness. Most, for instance, there are publishing houses that will only print romance. There are publishing houses that will only print supernatural. There are publishing houses that will only print A, B, C, or D. Well, Andrea didn't care.
Yep.
She did it all. She saw good in everything that she published.
Yeah,
she was able to get a lot of people banners, and it's not the easiest thing of finding categories where you're going to get that orange banner.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
You know, I would always, when she would get it, if I wasn't involved, and I said congratulations, we'd sit back and we would talk, and she's like, you know, there's so many of these authors, not us included, but other people that they thought it, they had it coming to them because she had so many orange banners. And that did bother her. And I said, well, you know, these are the authors that they don't understand the business. If they were just looking for an orange banner, they don't know the following that she created, and all of us know, all three of us know, how hard is it to find these categories on Amazon to get these orange banners? It is not an easy thing to do. And Amazon made it a lot since they sold the company, they made it 100 times harder. And she was still doing it. She did it with almost every anthology she puts out. It's quite an accomplishment, and I just wish that other authors didn't. I'm not trying to talk bad about authors, but they should have appreciated it more, because now she's not here. And good luck with getting an orange banner. You know, this is not an easy thing to do. The book that we're going to talk about, hopefully in a little while, we got an orange banner in two different categories for this, and the book hasn't even gone out.
We did.
Yeah.
And it's all because Andrea knew how to market. She was a marketing wizard. And let's segue into that book, Pete and Virginia. The book that's coming out March 28th, I think.
Yep.
Releasing March 28th. It's called The Locked Door. And it is about, it's stories about the occult. Now, I know some of you are going to say, the occult, we're talking Satanism, we're talking, no, we're not. You have to read the book when it comes out. It is a diversified anthology of strange and wonderful stories. That, what was it, five of us? It was me, Pete, Virginia, P. Elizabeth, and W.S. Greer that are in this anthology.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that Andrea marketed that book, it was orange banners in a couple of categories before it even on pre-order good. Am I right, guys?
Yes. Yep. In the pre-order, she had two categories for us. And, you know, the categories that we were in, they were not an easy category to get an orange banner.
No.
Not at all. That is just a feat in itself. It was amazing that she did that.
Pete, tell the audience a little bit about your story. Don't give it away, but just tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. So my story is about an occult leader that he's in prison, and he's awaiting the day before he's going to be put to death. And he's doing an interview with a crime reporter that's going to be writing his book. And the way I did it, the way I structured it, was I did a lot of research on different occult leaders. And I took a little from each one. And I just made it into a he was in the military, and things happened to him. He ended up working with the CIA, and they kind of realized that we got to get rid of him because he's way overboard, and he turned the tables on him, and he has some visions, and he realizes that he is destined to become not just an occult leader, the best that has ever lived. And he's beyond deadly. I mean, he's gruesome. And the crime reporter is just kind of on the edge of his seat when he's writing the story, and kind of sees that he's becoming drawn, how this occult leader was able to draw so many people into his world, because he himself is becoming drawn into this guy's world and kind of trying to fight it so he's just can stay neutral. It's I really enjoyed doing this, the story. I probably could have wrote more, but I was in the middle of writing another book, and I actually spoke with Andrea and said, listen, this one is going to be about 5,000 words shorter than I usually do. And she said, it's okay, just make the ending good. And, you know, the ending, people are going to wonder what the hell happened, what's going on.
Hey, I like surprise endings. Virginia, talk a little bit about yours, honey.
I didn't have a story, remember?
Oh, that's
I was just going to say, Yvonne, everybody died.
That's right.
To be fair, I actually, mine isn't going to be more demonic, of course. It's actually called Beneath the Grave. I did put it together yesterday while her and I were talking, which is why it's weird. And it's going to be more around, not really the devil worship per se, but more, you know, just worshiping things you shouldn't worship is really what my story is going to be all about. Idolizing things that shouldn't be idolized, really kind of getting deep and dark in the paranormal realm too, but still creating this, I don't know, occult following that's going to really just, this is what it's all about. And it's going to kind of border a little paranormal, little horror, a lot of horror, let's be honest. And so that's what my story is going to be mainly about.
See, and
is there a leader in that? Do you have a leader in this?
Oh, yeah. Her name's Andrea. It's going to be great.
Oh, that's so funny.
See, funny enough, all of my lead female characters' names start with a vowel. So it works out perfectly.
That is too funny. Well, what I did with mine and the reason that sent it to Andrea, and now Andrea, it's my twisted sense of humor. And for those of y'all that don't know, I have a series of books out called it When the Fates Collide series. And one of the main characters is Alex Morgan, who is a bounty hunter. Well, Alex shows up in this short story because she's been sent to evict someone from Queen Anne Street in New Orleans. Now, those of you who are familiar with the house at Queen Anne Street, that's where Marie Laveau resided back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
The twisted sense of humor in this book is the back and forth between Alex and the person in the house.
Ooh.
And when Andrea texted me back, she said, this is just too funny. I said, well, I told you it would be because it's twisted.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Only me. I can't help it. Now, y'all been writers long enough, and I think you will agree that we all have to pay attention and listen to the voices in our heads when they're speaking, because if we don't, they shut up. Or they fight
among them. You definitely have to do that. You have to listen.
You get them to shut up?
I don't get them to shut up. I can't get them to shut up. They just keep talking. And sometimes, like, the stuff that I look up on the internet, God, if I ever get raided by the FBI, they're going to be like, you were a serial killer, aren't you? Because I look up all this twist. And as I'm doing it, I'm going, am I breaking any laws doing this by looking this shit up? I mean, it's just like, I tell my wife, I'm like, I'm looking up some really dark things. Don't come over here. It's crazy. And it's not me. It's the voices saying, you know, we got to look this up. Let's take a look at this.
Yeah, I do that on a regular.
Yep, I once Googled which artery can you cut that's the least painful but bleeds out quickly without much pain. And it is the femoral, just saying.
am I wrong to do that? Was this wrong?
Uh-huh. But now I know, and so does everybody else, because it was in my book.
I want to play, there's a song by Brantley Gilbert that came out a couple of years before my granddaughter died, this is how he became known in the music industry, and it explains or it identifies Andrea and this beautiful relationship that all of us had with her and what kind of a void she's going to leave. And then at the end of the show, I got one that's going to break all of our hearts, but I want to play this one first. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, with Virginia Johnson and Pete Storm with AMR Publishing, and we are memorializing our friend Andrea Miles Rhodes, who we lost last night. And I'm not sure how we're going to carry on, but we will stumble forward, because if we don't, I know she will come and haunt us.
Preacher said he died too young. Over there, he told that gun. For Uncle Sam and our freedom. Mom and Dad in dress in black. They folded up that flag. Handed it to Dad. Started praying. Yeah.
That was Brantley Gilbert with Hell of an Amen, and I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk Radio tonight. I think they're all on drugs up there because they managed to screw that song up. But we will soldier on, as we always do, with podcasts on Blog Talk Radio. I am Yvonne Mason. This is The Chain with my guest Pete Thorne and Virginia Johnson, both authors with AMR Publishing. We lost Andrea, our wonderful publisher, mentor, friend, founding board, Shelter Cry On, you name it, she was it. She, marketing, trailers, editing. She was just a force to be reckoned with. And we are going to miss her more than any of us can possibly imagine. Am I right, guys?
100%.
Yep. Yep.
So, Virginia, where do we go from here, my friend? Because she would tell us to keep on living and keep on doing. Do you think that we can carry on the publishing house in her honor going forward, or after the anthologies are done, will it cease to exist? That's the burning question.
Well, I think that after speaking to the family, they are more than willing to allow me to still have access to her publishing account. So I at least do have that permission. I do know many of you have books that are published with her that honestly could have easily just been lost if I didn't have access, because you guys wouldn't have been able to order copies. You wouldn't be able to republish them because you can't unpublish them. There's a lot of things that actually benefited from me having the information. Do I
correct.
Think that we can continue it? I think it could easily be continued. I think she's got several years worth of things in motion that after maybe collecting everything and just knowing what she had can help. Luckily with AAP, I was doing all of the formatting anyway. I was making 90% of the covers for authors. Do I think it can continue? Absolutely. It'll be a little more work, but Yannicka will do just fine. It's okay.
Well, the reason I ask is because I do know that she had a file from another friend of mine, and it was a children's book. And
yes, she wanted it. Hold on. I got that. She wanted a coloring book maybe out of it. Or
yes.
I got
yes.
That's already on. I already got that. I got you. She already sent it to me and told me to see what I could do. So I can take care of that for you as well.
When
I'm going to call you later, Virginia, to discuss something with you.
Yes. No worries. Yes, I do believe we can keep her memory alive with AMR. Like I said, I talked to her son, and he's the one that's really overseeing everything and gave me permission. He's going to call me tomorrow so I can help him, you know, figure out how to change a lot of the things in the account itself, so that if they start closing accounts of hers, you know, the money, the royalties don't get lost to a bank nowhere. And so I do believe that we're going to be able to keep it alive and continue to move forward. Pink Ribbon Publishing has also agreed to help in any of the publishing needs we have, including editing right now, because she does editing as well as the publishing part, where we just never took that on because Pink Ribbon Publishing did. And so we do have that partner to fall back on. If I didn't have access to AMR, we were going to continue to post all of the anthologies through Pink Ribbon Publishing in her honor. So we were still trying to figure out a way to still do it with the resources we have, and I don't see a problem with moving forward. We have all the right people that are willing to help. It's just going to be putting our ducks in a row.
Anything that you need from me, you know how to reach me. I will even give you my phone number, because you and I both have been down this road many, many times.
Yep.
And I have.
Yep. And if I can help any way, I will. I'm not good at that other stuff, but if I can help, I will.
And see, and I am marketing guru. We can still market like crazy fools that we are. But I want to give you a backstory about that little children's book. My friend who wrote that book wrote it when his children were small. And he is an elder at the church that I go to. And he asked my friend Peggy, who's the church secretary, who Andrea published, if she thought that it was print worthy. So she sent it to me, and I said, absolutely, it's got a great storyline. So I sent it to Andrea, and Andrea said, absolutely. Well, he's still in shell shock. He never thought he would see that little. He never thought he would see in print.
Wow, that's a great story.
Okay. Andrea knew how to make dreams real.
Yes.
Yes, sure.
And she saw it.
See, yeah, let your friend know I have it. I actually do have the file. And I told her that I would work to see if it was better as a coloring book, like if we could create a coloring book with it, or do we... just leave it as is and release it as a children's book. So we can go either direction. But those are the kind of things that Andrea would ask for help on. You know, she just sent it and said, what can we do? Open for suggestions. I just said it's definitely doable to have the cover, the setup, have it formatted, you know, get the pictures where they belong. Definitely doable. And those are the things that she was willing to try. She never wanted to say no to anybody. And she never really had to. So I think that's going to be a hard thing to lose in this industry, is it's just somebody else that's willing to just work a little bit harder for others.
You're right.
But
you know what? With all of us pulling together, and I don't believe things happen as a I don't believe in coincidences. Number one, I'm too cynical. And number two, I've been around too long. I think that we are put in place by a higher being for a reason. And I firmly believe that we have all come together under this umbrella of the hurricane known as Andrea Miles Rose for a purpose.
Yep.
And maybe that purpose is so that we can be a more outreach when she was no longer with us, because we know God knows things we don't. So there's a reason we're all still here, and there's a reason the sun has been so able, and I hope he stays there and understands the importance of keeping his mother's legacy alive.
Yep.
Because she's amazing. All right. Pete, what is the name of your new book that you're working on that is going to come out?
Well, I have to figure out how to get the book out because she was going to send it to me. I have to talk to Virginia about that. This is a book about a homicide lieutenant that was involved in catching many, many really some of the worst killers in New York City, and his career was extraordinary, and that's probably, if I can get everything done and I can get the file, it will come out late March or early April. He didn't want to do a date, so we're just going to put it out once I get everything back and formatted. And I'll just put it out on a certain day. But I am in the middle of writing in a genre that I've never written in before, but I've done a lot of research about a undercover that is going to infiltrate a MC gang.
Nice.
I really love that genre, and I've done almost 2 years of research on it to get this thing right. And I'm looking forward to
If you want any input, you know how to reach me.
Okay, great. I appreciate it. And I'm hoping that it will be a success and praying it won't be a bust because it is a genre that I'm not used to writing in.
Let me tell you, you are very courageous because, and I'm sure that Virginia – will agree with me, most people are afraid to step out of their comfort zone. So stepping out of your comfort zone tells me that you have reached a growth in your writing career. and the sky's the limit. You can write anything you want to because you feel comfortable, A, doing the research, and B, understanding that in order to get into that world, you have to A, know the lingo, B, understand the minds of undercover cops and cops in general, and how they move in those circles and what they have to do. So kudos to you, Pete. I am very proud of you.
Thank you. That's the easy part for me, the undercover stuff, because I was an undercover. That's the easy part of the book for me. It's the MC, like you said, the language and the mannerisms of everybody. And I think I have the whole storyline. Now it's just putting everything together. And it's like we were just talking about, when I start writing, then I'm like, oh, you know what? Let me add this new character. And I wasn't going to make him married. Then I made him married. And that's like a new twist. I went back in the beginning. I'm like, okay, I'm going to make him have a wife. And that's what I was working for. And of course I made her a cop, a retired cop. And there's always a cop in my thing. And my friends are like, do you write anything without a cop? I'm like, don't be stupid. I have friends, meaning you and Virginia, that are twisted and kill people all the time, and I got to bring a cop into my story somewhere. Even in my – Virginia did my covers for the Everlasting Chains, the Justice Keepers. He is an ex-cop, and he becomes an archangel, but he was an ex-cop first.
So it is
what it is. It's, I guess you got to write about the best. Well, you got to write about what you know. And I always, you know, I try to go into other genres and try to bring that, something like that into the genre.
Virginia, are you writing anything besides anthologies anymore?
Well, if I'd stop hosting 6 or 7 events every year, then maybe. yes, actually, I know that obviously we talked about the swear words. The one orange banner I have on my own is actually my book called Cuck. And,
I remember that book.
Very nice.
I remember that book.
it did very well. So now I'm working on what I call the pink series, because we did the bad word series, and I actually I'm partnering with a model to get her to model for the cover. So it'll be an actual like model cover. But it's going to be all of the women's bad words. So whore, slut, cunt, all those good ones that we don't like to use, but we have to. So it's going to, we'll have the bad word series, and then I'll have the pink series, and both of them, they'll be sold, of course, side by side, but they're, you know, those were something that a lot of people really just kind of enjoyed reading. It's not, you know, like I always told everyone, don't even buy it. It's not worth it. I'll just send it to you, but that's where I'm working on that. I'm also, I know that Yvonne, you and I talked years ago. Julia, Claire, and I had actually written Seraphim, which was about a motel that you can take people to, and you may or may not leave in one piece. And they would, I guess I'd say, they dispose of everything, so there was no evidence left. And we had talked about writing a second one, and we're actually writing a second one where their daughters, in years to go, you know, 20 years from now, their daughters actually meet and become friends, and of the two, so there's Ivy and Seraphim, and they separated at the end of the movie, or at the end of the book, and yet now they're actually part of the same, like, town, and they become friends, and they don't know it until similar things start to happen, like one of them accidentally kills somebody, and they're like, we got to go see my mom. She'll know exactly what to do with this. And that's when they all start to figure out, like, that they're entwined. And it really happens in, like, chapter 2. So it's not a secret, but it's like we're taking that book to another level. And since Amazon will probably ban the first one soon, we may as well write a second one.
You might as well. You know, and that's what irritates me about the industry as it is now, and the people or the readers or the companies like Amazon that want to ban reading material. My mother never discounted anything I wanted to read, whether it was a newspaper, the encyclopedia, the dictionary, whatever it was. Because when you start banning books, people are going to find books to read because that's mm-hmm. curious. That's the best way in the world to sell a whole boatload of books is for somebody to say, well, we're banning that book. To Kill a Mockingbird became a bestseller in the 1940s because people wanted it banned because they're idiots.
Yeah.
I could get on a whole soapbox about banning books. I'd rather ban people than books.
Mhm. I agree.
In fact, there's a people around here know me as don't go get on Yvonne's bedside because she'll kill you off in a book. It's either that or kill them off in person. And I don't rock the color orange at all. Y'all all know that black is my happy color. So. There's no rocking that orange. You know, I don't understand why people think that banning books is a good idea. I have never understood it.
Me neither. Oh. It's just going to make people try to read the book. It's like when, some of my books had to have the, what's it called, the trigger warnings on them. People want to read books that have trigger warnings on them.
Yeah, they do.
They want to know what it was and what is he writing about and how bad is it going to be writing. How far did he take this?
Well, the thing is, they want to ban books, but they don't want to ban some of the smut that's on television.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah,
I'm all for smut, but. Not when it's on at 9 o'clock and a kid can see it.
Exactly. But that's okay. But you want to ban a book because it offends your whatever. Those people offend me. I can get on a whole different level of a radio show about banning stuff and Virginia would be right there with me, wouldn't you, Virginia?
Oh yes. We've already considered creating an online library for those books that that are banned and can't be sold on the other things, that we would be able to sell the paperbacks outside of an AAP library. So we have a lot of things working in the favor of the indie author here coming up soon. So that was another thing we've been working on. Also an international library. We're going to have an AAP international library now in the Netherlands. So,
nice.
So a bookstore over there is going to be really fun. It'll be interesting. We got a lot of fun things coming up.
Sounds like it. I'm excited.
Yeah, it should be really fun.
It will be a whole lot. When are you doing another con over in Tampa?
October 4th of this year. I think it's the 4th. Let me look. So many. We just dropped. Okay, so to be fair, our upcoming conventions. We've got Michigan in April 6th. We're actually now co-hosting with Authors and Dancers. We're helping them in April, the end of April. We have a Dreaming Dirty in Maryland, which will be the first time we've been in Baltimore. That's going to be a very large event too. That's in May. And then we've got Salem again in September. And then October will be Tampa. And then we just, and this is like super exciting for me, so I'm going to be really excited about this. So about many, many, many years ago, when we started Anytime Author Promotions, it was for the sole reason of raising enough money or making enough money to bring Janneke from the Netherlands to the States to go to a book convention.
Right.
The book convention we actually attended that we finally raised, not even kidding you guys, it was like $1,000. It took us months to raise this money in just graphics and formatting and anything we could do. We were PAing, like we were pimping ourselves out. We raised enough money for her to come over. And the event we attended was Glass City in Toledo. And it was their last year, which was 2017. It was the last year that they were active due to an online bully that doesn't fear me. This year, just now, Eden and I managed to actually get the name. We've been trying to fight for the name Glass City as an event for 10 years. And in 2027, we're going to bring back Glass City. We're resurrecting it. So that one we're super excited about. And with Book Bonanza going down, we now have Book Blast in Dallas. So we just announced that one today. We got a lot of really cool ones coming up. And I'm really excited about that one. And then we have a couple more cities that we haven't announced yet that are going to be announced very shortly that people are going to love. We're just 2026 and 2027 for us are going to be just brand new places. And whether they're haunted or not, it'll be interesting. So.
Oh, wow. That's going to be great.
And I remember when she first started many, many years ago, and the first convention was phenomenal. How many authors did we have that year?
Well, the first one in Tampa that you were at, I think, Tampa's my baby. That was my first one ever. That one is my baby. It's one of those that we just had to change the name because the name just wasn't working. And it's Floridian Tampa now. And that one is original. I mean, back then, I think it was like 50 authors, 50 or 60 authors that year. We've been consistent at about 50 authors. Last year we had 80 some odd authors. And this year we have at least that many already signed up, and we have a wait list, which is unlike, it just isn't something that happens. And for some reason, Tampa usually isn't the best place to go. But now the Shameless shut down, we've kind of picked up on that end as well. So we're fortunately for us, we're already in the areas of some of these bigger events that we're able to kind of keep the readers engaged in events without having to push anybody out or move anybody out. And of course, for our events, as you all know, we don't focus on the anchor author. We don't focus on the big name. We had Abby Glines at one of our, she was at our Salem event. Amazing woman. I absolutely loved her books. I fangirled because she was one of the first authors I ever read. And she paid her table fees just like everybody else does. I'm not going to pay you to come to an event. I want, Eden and I were just talking about our events are all about the indie author. I want the author that wasn't accepted. I want the author that was told they didn't have enough Google reviews. I want the author that cries the first time they sell a book at my event. That's what we do it for. That's the people we want. I don't celebrate the models. I don't go out of my way to invite and pay off authors and people to come and pretend they know me so I can look like, I've got these big authors, because we already know the big authors only draw their crowd. They're not there to shop anywhere else. They're coming, they're seeing their author, they're leaving. So I think that's why we do what we do, and that's where Tampa started. It was all about people not being able to be accepted into bigger events, not getting in, and we gave them a place to be, and now, hate to say it, but it's true. We're some of the bigger events. I mean, we're hosting the biggest events in the country, we're not bringing in the big authors. I don't care. I'm not in it for an anchor author. Just like Andrea, she wasn't in it to find the anchor author. She was in it to help people like me, like you, like Pete, like really make a difference in our own world, because that's the world we're going to live in. We're not going to live in the traditionally published world. We know we're not. I mean, and we might one day. That'd be great. But I know that I'm never going to write a happily ever after. I will never be published with a traditional publisher. I was all about, if I can do it, why wouldn't I? And not kidding, Tampa was actually the first event that I had an author and she was crying, and we could not figure out why. And I'm like, Eden, let's go find out what's going on. This is actually really sad. And we ran over there because we thought something was wrong. And she was crying because we were one of the first people. We were the only event to accept her.
Wow.
That's it. Just because she was accepted and finally there. we could have had five readers and it wouldn't have mattered to her. Like, it just, she was there, she was accepted, she got to feel that, you know, that that moment that you get when you're at an event. And now, you know, we're hosting huge events. I mean, I've got, Salem had 1,700 readers.
Wow.
We've got New Orleans coming up. We've got, you know, that one's got tons. I've got 500 or 600 tickets sold for Maryland. These are big events, and we never in a million years thought that this is where we'd be. And now I'm like, well, let's go toe-to-toe and ask for Glass City now. Like, let's go take over Book Bonanza. Like, we just will make sure nobody gets run over, because that's just what?
Well,
so
but
that's
the thing, the thing is, Virginia, what – where we are now as opposed to where we were even in 2010 is difference between daylight and dark. And for these young indie authors that are just now coming up and coming in, they don't know the struggles that we had to fight. They don't know the look down at their, people looking their, down their noses at us and going, oh, I only buy from a traditional publisher. I heard that more times than I can count. I only read traditional authors. Are you a traditional author? Yeah, I'm a traditional author because I write stuff you ain't never read before. I mean, come on.
You mean you don't write girl meets boy, boy screws over girls? Girl goes into a manic episode, boy makes up for it, boy and girl get together? Like,
no.
That's
no.
Every other romance book on the planet.
Yes, it's same plot line, different characters, different names, different setting. Now, I might write boy meets girl, boy screws over girl, boy disappears.
Boy never gets found again. That was mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why, I mean, it's all about, you know, the reality of it is that the indie author world is starting to make a scene, and we're starting to actually be able to stand up on our own 2 feet now, which
yep.
It took a lot of us to get there.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. And it took a lot of us sticking together and supporting each other. And then, like you, when I read about these cyberbullies, I want to go find them and pinch their heads off.
Right.
Because and some of them are authors or writers.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're published or not, but they're writers. And they want to act that way. Please do not besmirch this industry. If you're doing that, stop it. Because we will find you. Trust me. I have ways, and so does Virginia. Am I right?
Yeah.
It won't end well. Trust me, it will not end well, because we worked very, very hard as a cohesive group to get the rest of you where you are now. This was not a storm that we went through lightly at all. Virginia and I can tell you all kinds of horror stories. I know she's had them and I've had them, and the snarkiness and the snobbery and the...
the things we need in order to deal with it.
Exactly. Mine started way back in school when my teacher said, you can't write because you can't do math. Excuse me? What?
Exactly.
Which is one I'm just, so now I just say I want to thank you for telling me I couldn't, because I did.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
We are moving forward. Our dearly beloved Andrea would insist on it. And if you've never seen a photo of Andrea, she had the most gorgeous flaming red hair that had a mind of its own. Just like her. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That red hair was everywhere, and she didn't care. She rocked the room, because when she walked in that room, she owned it. She dressed the way she wanted to. Her
yep.
hair had its own mindset, and she was unforgettable.
She was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so, you remembered her. Even my daughter, I told her last night, I'm like, hey, do you remember Andrea? And she's like, okay, who is she? And I said, the lady who sold anthologies and brought Robert Kelly to one of the events. And she's like, oh my God, I loved her. I'm like, oh, okay, no, I'm not going to break the news.
Not happening tonight, right? Oh, mercy. Well, the thing is, and because I've had so much loss, I was talking to my daughter today about it, and she said, Mom. I said, oh, yeah, uh-huh. Is we do not know what's in store for us in the next 5 minutes. None of us do, ladies and gentlemen. We have no idea what's in store for us within the next 5 minutes. So what I preach to people that care about is, what would you, and this goes back to the book that they just released, the anthology, Before You Leave. What would you want your last words to be to someone you cared about if you knew you would not be here tomorrow or 5 minutes from now? What words would you want to leave with that person? And that
Hear my brother's history.
That anthology is going to be released. When is that one going to be released?
Which one? The newest? The one we're in? March 28th, I think?
Before You Leave. That one.
Oh.
That one's still, it's sometime this month too, isn't it? Or is it next month? Or July? It's on pre-order.
Yes.
But it's called Before You Leave, ladies and gentlemen, and I am also in that one. And it talks about what words would you say to someone that you cared about if you knew that you were at the end of your life? And I can promise you that when Virginia was talking to Andrea yesterday and when Pete was talking to Andrea yesterday, she left indelible memories of the words that she said before she left, because that was just Andrea. She
yes.
left an impression. And I'm sure it was words of encouragement, probably a joke or two. She might even said, Pete, don't feel sorry for yourself. Keep going.
Yeah. Yeah.
She
was amazing.
Yeah.
Do what?
She really was.
She was. So when we tell you to buy the anthologies, buy them for her, because correct me if I'm wrong, Virginia, but we as a group decided to let the family have our royalties for the book that's
yes.
coming out. Am I correct?
Yes. Every penny that is brought in with the anthology will be delivered directly to the family. I'm actually helping them tomorrow set up the account so that all of the royalties will go into an account they will have access to instead of anything that might get closed due to her timely passing.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is because of our love for Andrea. And in a time like this, there's no words that can be said because the loss is so great. But we can at least help the family in some small way carry on. And your purchase of those books, we're not getting paid. We are not getting paid for this book at all. It is all going to our beloved Andrea's family. And she would be mad at us, but at this point, it's okay, because that is our way of saying how much we miss her and love her and want her legacy to continue. Right, guys?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
No,
for sure.
So with that being said, we've got about 14 minutes left. I want to wait till the very end to play the last song. What, Virginia, like me, you've been in this industry longer than dirt is old. What would you tell a person that wanted to start writing, that was afraid of taking that leap of faith and just kept saying, I have a story, but?
I would say, write the story. I mean, personally, okay, so personally, do what others did for me, which is write the story. you have there's a backbone of people in the indie world that will help promote it. They will help you with a release party. They will help format it. I'll make you a cover. I don't care. Like, whatever it takes to get that first book published, that creates a dream, and it actually it can be more fulfilling than anything you've ever done. Write the book, and then call me. Just write the book.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Don't be afraid of the pricing people give you. Don't be afraid of what other people are saying that, oh, my God, it's so hard to sell a book. Yeah, it is. It's not easy. But guess what? When you have your own book sitting on your bookshelf, it doesn't matter how many books you sell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What would you say?
I would just say, like you guys just said, put it down on paper, whatever goes into your mind or whatever you want to write about, write it for, and you go with your heart. And don't be afraid to, once you got it written, try to get it published. You know, like Virginia said, we're here to help. I mean, and we will help you. We will help you make your dream come true, and go with your gut and write whatever you want to write. That's what indie writers do. We write whatever we want. We don't have to worry about the publishers saying, no, you can't write it. We write whatever we feel, and that's what we do.
On the common sense side, ladies and gentlemen, once you get that book out there, you're going to get all of these advertisements from all these vanity presses. We can do yay, 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 yay for your book. All you have to do is send us da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Run from those people as fast as you can run, because they do not have your best interest at heart. They are a company. It is their job. You will be in thousands of dollars worth of debt, and you won't be able to recoup those losses ever. So please,
sure.
You want to eject my sentence?
I'm sorry, can you say that? You broke up, Yvonne.
I said, did you want to interject something while I was talking about these vanity presses that want you to spend thousands of dollars?
Yeah, you have to stay away from the vanity presses, and quite honestly, these small publishing houses, if you're going to go with them, make sure that you get money up front. If you don't, and if you have to pay for certain things that Virginia can do and Yvonne can do, don't go with them, because they're going to rip you off. I experienced it myself before with my first publisher, and she was a traditional publishing house. I thought this is the greatest thing in the world. And I found out they stole almost $40,000 from me with the help of Andrea. I didn't get it back, but I was able to get my book back, the rights to my book. And that is huge. You want the rights to your book. You really do. You want to own the rights to your book. Unless you get with one of the big six, and then if you get a nice offer up front, then you make that decision. Stay away from the vanity houses, because they're going to soak you for every dime that they can. And it's crazy. It's crazy. Not when you can do a lot of these things through people that will help you in this business, and you can do some of the things for free on your own.
And ladies and gentlemen, understand this. We as indie authors understand we may never get rich as an author. However, that being said, I would venture to guess, and you two can correct me if I'm wrong, I would venture to guess that none of us as indie authors would do anything else. Am I right, guys?
100%.
Because we have to write. If we didn't, I know Virginia and I would go totally mad, and then it would probably get ugly, and they would all die. Am I right, Virginia?
I think we might have lost Virginia.
No, nope, every damn time.
Oh, okay.
I have a mute button. I'm trying to work around, y'all.
We never know with Virginia. We have to watch her. Sometimes she just goes off somewhere. We're not sure where she goes, but she always comes back eventually. Because we adore her so much.
Yes.
With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, go on to Amazon and look up The Locked Door, and you can put my name in it, Pete's name in it, Virginia's name in it if she gets her story written, because the pre-order is available.
My story will be written. I have not missed a date. I've not missed a deadline yet. I wrote 24,000 words in one day. I will do it.
She'll get it done. It'll be well worth reading. And also look up Before You Leave. And again, I am in that anthology along with my friend Peggy Engler, who writes the inspirational books. Go on AMR Publishers, and you will find some of the other authors that our dear friend Andrea has helped along the way. You will find Tim Holloway, Christina McCord, Brian McCord, of course, Pete Thorne, S.L. Carpenter. You will find Peggy Engler. And these are just some of the authors that Andrea has worked with and helped along the way. Support indie authors, because we do have a lot to offer in the publishing world. We do have stories to tell, and we tell them very well. And some of them, they all die, as we all know, because Virginia likes killing off people almost as much as I do.
You know, it's funny that we're here over here, like, looking like serial killers, and Pete's over there, like, stop.
I don't think he knows how to deal with both of us, Virginia.
No, I do.
He says that very hesitantly.
Hey, I got some really good liquor from him. I'm pretty sure we're friends now.
Oh, okay. Well, that always works. That always works. So we're almost to the 5-minute mark in our program of a 2-hour show. And again, I apologize for the technical screw up. For some reason, my microphone didn't want to work tonight, and for some reason, Blog Talk Radio didn't want to work tonight. So I wound up having to mute my speakers on my computer, calling in from my iPhone, and it's just technology. It happens sometimes. But the question I have with you two guys. Would y'all come back? If I brought you back on the show, would y'all come back either individually or collectively to talk about what's going on with your books?
Sure, definitely.
And I know Virginia would, because she's got to tell me all about the cons that are happening so we can let all the 152,000 listeners know where they can go buy books from all the wonderful indie authors.
Yeah, we're all over the place, so... We're good. Right now, like I said, we've got Michigan, Maryland, Salem, and Tampa. And if you're ever interested, you can go to anytimeauthorpromotionevents.com, and they're all listed there.
There you go. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to, once again, thank Virginia Johnson and Pete Thorne for agreeing to come on the show tonight, even though this loss is very raw to all of us. Keep Andrea's family and all of us in your prayers. Losing a parent, losing a sibling, losing a mate, losing a grandmother, I've run that gamut. I have run every bit of that gamut. I understand that journey. I will not say that I understand how they feel, because it is their feelings, but I understand that journey, and it is painful. We will miss our Andrea greatly, but we will soldier on, and we will do our best to keep her legacy alive. I'm going to, again, thank you guys very much for joining me tonight. Y'all don't know what it meant to me personally that y'all agreed to come and do this show. And I Thank hope you. That it helps us heal a little bit in the grief process. And ladies and gentlemen, I have another episode in mind for next week, but I don't have it yet. I will let you know as soon as I get it up and running, and maybe my microphone will behave itself. But I want to close the show with a song that is very close to my heart, and say this, that it will probably leave us all in tears. So this is Yvonne Sewell with Off the Chain, with my guests Pete Thorne and Virginia Johnson, both fantastic authors, and I am proud to call them friends and compatriots in this world. And with that, I will say good night while I play When I See You Again.
It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again, when I see you again.
Damn, who knew? All the planes we flew, good things we've been through, that I'll be standing right here talking to you about another path. I know we love to hit the road and laugh, but something told me that it wouldn't last. Had to switch up, look at things different, see the bigger picture. Those were the days, hard work forever pays. Now I see you in a better place. See you in a better place. How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I would do, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way, from where we began.
You know, we started.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
We'll tell you.
When I see you again.
You both go out your way and the vibe is feeling stronger. What's small turn to a friendship, a friendship turn to a bond, and that bond will never be broken. The love will never get lost. And when brotherhood comes first, and the line will never be crossed. Established it on our own when that line had to be drawn, and that line is what we reach. So remember me when I'm gone. Can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
Don't let the light guide your way. Yeah. Hold every memory as you go. And every road you take will always lead you. Without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you